And when we started this series a long, long time ago, I thought, this is going to be great because at some point I'm going to get to talk about Jonah again. And Lance gives me a hard time, but I don't know if there's any, especially any Old Testament book, that I enjoy more than Jonah. I mean, it is a mine in which we can gem, a mine in which we can get so many different gems from. And so we're going to do that. But you've heard the story of Jonah so many different times that I thought maybe this time I would try to get some help from someone who could kind of glean out some of those important things. So I have invited someone to come back. It was hard to get him. I had to make a lot of phone calls because he doesn't have a phone because basically he didn't grow up with one. But sir, can you come down and help us? Yes, you right there. If you'll just make, he doesn't walk as fast as he used to, mainly because he's really, really old. As he's walking by, you might want to hold your nose because he reeks of fish guts. But this, my friends, is Jonah. And Jonah is going to be helping us out today. I got a hold of him, and he agreed to come and be with us. So, Jonah, if you don't mind, I need you to kind of stand over here. Just, where are you, Jonah? You're going the wrong way. He has a problem with going the wrong way. Okay, Jonah, right over here. Jonah's going to be helping us out as we kind of go through this story. And what we see, what I think is most interesting about the book of Jonah and his story is the contrast between he and several other individuals found in there. And so he's going to help us out. You know, Jonah has a sign. You know this, right? Jonah has a sign. Jesus talks about him having a sign. And I know what you think the sign should say, the end is near. But that's not the sign that he has for us today. Jonah has a different sign. He has a sign that is about good and what?
Bad.
All right, and bad. There we go. Okay, don't disrobe or lose anything. That's happened once before up here, and it did not end well. So make sure you keep those tucked in. So what we're going to do is I'm going to start reading a few passages from Jonah, and I want you to help me out. And we're going to decide if that statement is good or bad. And I'm using the text, I'm using the Bible. I just didn't want all the highlighting in my good Bible. So I printed it off. So here we go. Starting in Jonah chapter 1, verse 1, the word of the Lord, pause. Is that good or bad? When you hear the word of the Lord came, is that good or bad? Wait, what? Good? Did somebody say bad? Did anybody say bad? When the word of the Lord comes, is that good or bad? They said good, Jonah. Do you agree?
Yes.
Okay, he agrees. Okay. I'm going to lovingly disagree with all of you, including Jonah. Okay, and here's why I'm going to disagree with you. What happened to Moses when the word of the Lord came to him? He said, go get a bunch of crazy, whiny people, drag them out in the desert, and you're going to do circles for 40 years. Is that good or bad? How about Abraham? The word of the Lord came to Abraham, or Abram, and said, Abram, I want you to leave your family. I want you to leave the place where you're living, and I want you to go somewhere else. Where am I going, God? I'll tell you when you get there. Good or bad? Story of Noah. Noah's just chilling out. He's 600 years old, and God says, hey, by the way, I want you to build a big boat and grab the snakes and the birds and the mice and all the stinky things, and they're going to float with you for, you know, a few days, good or bad. Story of Jonah. The word of the Lord is going to come to Jonah. And we're going to find out in a minute if that's really good or bad. And I guess it depends on whose situation or whose shoes you're in. Okay, so you said it's good. I'm not going to argue with you. You outnumber me. So we'll say the word of the Lord coming to someone is good. As long as that someone is not you. Because when he comes to speak to you, he often calls us to crazy things. Okay, the word of the Lord came to Jonah. Is Jonah good or bad? He's good. Okay, we read in 2 Kings chapter 14 that he is a prophet. He's a prophet who probably would have been respected for many things, one of which he prophesied, as God told him, that Israel's boundaries would be restored. Okay, so that was a good thing. And I think we have mixed feelings about Jonah. I think because he's in the Bible, he's a prophet, and he has his own book, we tend to say, well, he's really good. But sometimes he doesn't make good decisions. He says, God tells him, he says, go to the city of Nineveh. Is Nineveh good or bad? Okay, finally, we all agree on one of them, right? Okay, it's bad. Why is Nineveh bad? Tell me what you know about Nineveh. Do what? They weren't doing God's word? Idolatry. And according to VeggieTales, they go around and they slap each other in the face with fishes. So Nineveh is bad. Nineveh is not yet, but will be the capital of Assyria. And in about 50 years from now, when he's giving this message, about 50 years later, who's going to come in and basically demolish Israel? Assyria. So we all agree that Nineveh is bad, but something's going to happen that bad people don't normally do. Okay, so he says, go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it because of its wickedness has come up before me. Then Jonah ran away. Is this good or bad? Are you sure about this? Is it good or bad? And who for? Nineveh is Assyria. I mean, they're basically the sworn enemy of the Israelites. Israel is living in a time of prosperity, but Assyria is making their way back up to the top. And in fact, as we know, they didn't know that in a half a century they would destroy Israel. Okay? As we were studying with this, Jonah and I, he is friends with a young man named Dimitri. So that's how I know that this conversation took place. So Dimitri and I were talking, not Jonah, because that's a different person. This is the authentic Jonah. But Dimitri and I were talking about this, and I said, hey, you know, who's the sworn enemy of the Eagles? And he said, who? Clovis. Okay? I said, okay, Dimitri, you're in the band, right? Okay, and you're about to have a big competition against your rivals, Clovis. And Clovis is bigger than you, and they're better than you. This is a story, okay? I don't mean it seriously. They're bigger than you, they're better than you, and they're about to win this competition. But you found out that they're doing something illegal, and if they get caught, they're about to get caught, and they're going to be kicked out, and you're guaranteed first place in the band competition. But God says, I want you to go to Clovis. I know, it's just like Nineveh. I want you to go to Clovis, and I want you to say, you need to stop what you're doing because you're about to get in big trouble. And what if he goes and he does this? And he comes back to Hobbs and he says, hey, guess what? I just went to Clovis and I saved their entire band. They were going to get kicked out of the competition, but I have restored them. And now they get to be in the band, they get to be in the competition, and they're going to beat us bad in about 5 days. What is going to happen in that band room? They are going to rip off his arms and beat him up with his own hands. Okay, so that seems a little silly, but here's what's going on. Jonah is being asked by God to go to the enemy and save them. The enemy in which he saves is the enemy which his people hate. The Ninevites are terrible people. It is recorded throughout history of these heinous crimes that they have committed, the violent acts that they've done against other people. And now, God says, I want you to go to these people and save them, because after you save them, they will destroy you. Do you think Jonah was going to gain any friends? He was in a lose lose situation here. And I'm not trying to defend Jonah. I'm just saying this is what's really going on. He is being confronted with his love for God and his love for his country. And at that time, those two couldn't come together and eat at the same table. Because he was either going to choose to follow God or he was going to choose to be a patriot. And so what did he do? Some people would say he did what was bad because he was running away. Others, those who hated the Ninevites, would say he did what? He did the right thing. Now, I have a little bit to say about this. It's kind of, in my opinion, it should have been interpreted different when it made it into the English. It says, but Jonah ran away from who? The Lord. Jonah is a prophet. He knows the Lord. He loves the Lord. Does he really think he's running away from the Lord? Does he think has he read the Psalms? Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go to the mountains, you are there. If I sink to the very depths, you are there. I think Jonah understands he's not really running away from God. He's running away from the will of God. He knows that God is going to be wherever he goes. He just figures somebody might try to save Nineveh, but it won't be me. And so he is going to take off. Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed down to Tarshish. He went down to Joppa where he found a ship bound for the port. After paying the fare, he went down to the boat and they sailed down for Tarshish to flee from the Lord. Okay, so real quickly, Jonah, do you remember the fact you were up over in the northern part, right? You were up in the northern part and kind of east of where you were is Nineveh, okay? A little over 100 miles, okay? So, you were told to go 100 miles east, okay? Instead, you decided that you were going to go southwest down to the port, and after you got there, you were going to sail to Tarshish. Anybody want to guess how far Tarshish is away and why he would choose Tarshish? There's two reasons why he would choose Tarshish. One, it is the opposite direction of Nineveh. That would be going west. The second reason why he would choose Tarshish is that's the furthest place that he knew he could go to. Tarshish was quite literally, it was on the western side of Spain. It was like on the end of the map. As far as Jonah knew, that the world was flat and he was about to fall off it if he went past Tarshish. It was headed 2,000 miles in the opposite direction. Which, by the way, what do you think about the sea? Do you think the sea is good or bad? If you're a good Jew, do you think it's good? Not hardly. The sea is where the bad things happen. It's where the demons and the monsters live in the depths of the sea. He's a landlubber and he says, I'm going to leave land. I'm going to get on a ship. I'm going to go as far away as possible. Then the Lord sent a great wind. Is that good or bad? Okay, I think you're right, Jonah. I think it's bad because, you know, he's on the boat. But what happened as a result of the great wind? There was such a violent storm that rose on the ship that threatened to break up. All the sailors, are the sailors good or bad? You cheated. You've read ahead. Come on, people, sailors. When your mama says you better not cuss like a sailor, is that good or bad? It's bad. Sailors are bad again. It's, you know, the sailors, you know, in VeggieTales, you know, they're pirates that don't do anything. Okay? They're bad people. But this is an amazing contrast we have right here. The sailors who talk like sailors, who live out on the sea, who are stinky and smelly and maybe a little bit weird. Okay? And they live out on the sea, which is a bad place. They're bad people. You still say they're good? Well, maybe you're right. All the sailors were afraid and each cried out to his own God. At least they had some kind of religion. And they threw cargo into the sea to lighten the ship. But Jonah had gone where? Below deck. He was at the bottom where he lay down and fell into a deep sleep. Deep sleep, good or bad? It's a good sleep. It's good unless you're doing it right now. Okay? It's a bad if you're doing it right now. Any other time, I would say it's probably pretty good. Jonah fell into a deep sleep. The captain went up to him and said, "Get up and call on your God." Did you hear that? What just happened? Somebody tell me, and just what just happened? Who's talking to who? A sailor is telling a prophet, you need to pray. Really? You're a prophet? That your job is to talk to God and to talk for God, and yet you have a sailor coming up to you saying, "Hey, I know you're a prophet and all, but maybe you should think about praying." Okay, so sailor, is he good or bad? Yeah, he's a good guy. It's the sailor telling the prophet the importance of praying. He says, "Get up and call on your God. Maybe he will take notice of you and we will not perish." Then the sailors said to each other, "Come, let us cast lots to find out who's responsible for this calamity." They cast lots and the lot fell on Jonah. Is that good or bad? Yeah. That's right. It's good if you're a sailor. It's bad if you're Jonah. And so Jonah is speaking from the heart here. He knows when the lot fell on him that it was bad. So they asked him, "Tell us, who is responsible for making all this trouble for us? What do you do? Where do you come from? What is your country? From what people are you?" And he says, "I am a Hebrew and I worship the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the land." Is that good or bad? Okay. He is here prophesying. He's speaking the truth to a group of people, as long as it's not the Ninevites. In fact, it goes on to say this. This terrified them, and they asked, "What have you done?" And then here's this great parenthetical statement that they knew beforehand, but we didn't. We're just now learning. They knew he was running away from the Lord because he had already told them so. He gets on the boat, shows his ticket. "Well, what are you doing?" "I'm going to Tarshish." "Wow, what's in Tarshish? You're going to go visit some family?" "No, I'm going to run away from the Lord." Good or bad? There you go. You're learning now, aren't you? The sea was getting rougher and rougher, good or bad? Anybody want to argue otherwise? Is it good or bad? Bad for the sailors? Can I ask you a question? What would happen if the sea didn't get rougher? Maybe Jonah kept on going. Maybe he found himself in Tarshish. Maybe it wouldn't have worked out like it did. And I want to stop here for just a second and say, maybe the rough seas that are slapping against your boat, maybe they're not all that bad. Maybe sometimes we have those rough waves to remind us not just of where we're going, but where we shouldn't be as well. They got rougher and rougher, so they asked him, "What should we do to you to make the sea calm down?" And he says, "Pick me up and throw me in the sea." Is this good or bad? Good for the sailors, bad for Jonah. Now at this time, the sailors aren't exactly sure that this is a good idea. Why do they not think this is a good idea? Because they actually don't want to do it. They don't do it to start off. Listen to this. He says, throw me in the sea, he said, and it will become calm. And he says, listen to this, though. He says, I know that this is my fault, good or bad. Good. We see this redeeming quality in the reluctant prophet who was running the other way, but he realizes and he confesses, I've done something wrong. He says, I know it's my fault that this storm has come upon us. Instead, the men did their best to row back to land. Good or bad? They're still trying to save him. These sailors who had their own gods and are calling upon him to pray to his God, now believe, based on him, at least partially, that he's the one that's causing all this problem. And do they chunk him overboard? Not yet. They're still trying. If the people of God would have the patience with unbelievers that these unbelievers had with the people of God, how might our world be different? Trust me, I have a list in my head of people I'm waiting for God to thump. I'm waiting for the big storm for them. And yet here are these unbelievers who are fighting to save a man who's running away from God. But instead, the men did their best to row back to sea, but they could not, for the sea grew even wilder than before. Then they cried out to the Lord, oh, please do not let us die for this man's life. Do not hold us accountable for killing an innocent man. They're confessing for what they're about to do. We don't want to do this. We've tried everything, but he says throw them overboard. And so this is what we're going to do. For you, O Lord, have done as you please. Then they took Jonah and threw him overboard. Is this good or bad? Clearly, I want to ask Jonah. You're on the boat and somebody just threw you overboard. Is this good or bad?
Bad.
This is bad. You are now in the water. But it's also going to be good for the sailors. And now we're including the fish. Thanks, Eddie. Because right about that time, there was a large fish, or maybe a whale, was praying, oh, Lord, please give me some food. I'm really hungry. Oh, look, I've never had human before. I've heard it's good. Okay, so at this, the men greatly feared the Lord. They offered it. Oh, okay. Then they threw Jonah overboard, and the raging sea grew calm. At this, the men greatly feared the Lord, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows to him. Good or bad? That God was still able to use a difficult situation. In the last verse we're going to look at in chapter 1, it says this, but the Lord provided a great fish. Is this good or bad? How many of you have seen the cartoon of Jonah being in the belly of a fish? Have you seen the cartoon? It's almost always like a room the size of like a small cabin. You know, I mean, it's probably like a 20 by 30. I mean, it's there, this big open space, and there's a table. And Jonah is sitting at the table, and he's got a candle stand sitting there. Okay? So all of you who think that this is a good thing, you don't know what it's like to be on the inside of the fish. I don't know the size of a stomach of a fish or a whale. It does say a big fish. So for all of you who say, well, you know, that's not right. You need to change your beliefs on that one. That's going to be on the quiz. He's in the belly of a fish. What is a big fish or whale? What do they eat?
People.
Fish. And how do they go about digesting said fish? Acid? Yeah. It's going to be cramped. He's going to be laying with fish guts and fish stomach acid all around him. It is just going to burn his skin and his eyes and his nose. It's going to hurt to breathe. and it's just going to be awful. Being saved by a fish, good or bad. And this is where we're going to close out this morning. Jonah did something really spectacular. And this is why I love the story of Jonah so much. Chapter 1, and we'll talk all about this on class. I knew we wouldn't get all through this, so I planned for class to cover up chapters 3 and 4. We're hitting 1 and 2 this morning, so don't miss the second half of the story. Chapter 1, we have Jonah running. Chapter 2, we have arguably one of the most beautiful prayers found in Scripture. And this is not the prayer I would pray if I'm in the belly of the fish. And I want to give full credit for Jonah the prophet, who in the belly of the fish says, God, thank you for delivering me. I'm thinking more like, woe is me, I am ruined. Those are the Isaiah words that's coming out of my mouth. He thanks God in the belly of a fish for being delivered. What were you thinking? Because this prophet, he believes in the sovereignty of God. Now, he doesn't necessarily like it, but he believes that God can use big fish and bad storms to accomplish his will. Now, the story of Jonah is far from over. For those of you who think, oh, everything turns out great for Jonah, you haven't read chapter 4. Chapter 3, the word of the Lord comes to him again, and he listens, he goes to Nineveh, but his attitude doesn't really change. But I want to leave it, that's the carrot that I'm dangling in front of you for class time. It's in the quads. You can go down that hallway for the non-coffee drinkers, or that hallway for the coffee drinkers, but then we will rendezvous in the middle. And we're going to get together and we're going to talk a little bit more about chapters 3 and 4. I am honored to be standing up here next to this gentleman, who, if you haven't figured out, is really, he's not Jonah. I'm sorry. Start running again, Jonah. You do that best. Stop. You have to stop for just a second. You got to stay up here for just a second. This is Mr. Dimitri. Dimitri, you know him so well. The one thing you will know him by more than anything else through the beard is his amazing smile that never stops. And he belongs to Miss Elsie. And probably for about 4 months, we've been talking about coming up together, and he says, I want to help preach. And we got to Jonah. We came together. We studied. He's been reading the book of Jonah every week. I want you to know how proud I am of this young man. For all of you young men and women out there, do not be looked down upon because you are young, but set an example for the believers in life, in love, in faith, in hope, and in purity. I want you to take time to encourage this young man and all the other young men and women in this room and the opportunities that we're going to seek out to get them involved in serving the Lord, because God needs young men and women to rise up for the future of His kingdom. But this morning, the call is open to all of us. Some of you have been challenged to minister to people who seem a lot like Ninevites. We call them co-workers. We call them neighbors. We call them in-laws. Those are the people that God has called us to reach out to offer grace and mercy to them. And we want you to know that that same grace and mercy has been offered to you, even if you've lived like a Ninevite. God's mercy is available to you. And if you want to be a part of that, we want to encourage you to come now as we stand and sing.